I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, I am joined by Dr. Michael Bruce. He is the author of The Power of When, an incredibly powerful book, and something that as soon as I got it, I devoured it. In, I think it was like 3 days, I got through the whole book. It's just a very, very powerful read. I don't know anyone who's really studying chronotype the way that Dr. Bruce is, and we get into that in this episode and so much more. You'll also find out what chronotype he is and what chronotype I am, although you probably already know that if you've been listening to the show long enough. So let's just get into it. Here's my conversation with Dr. Michael Bruce on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and with me on the show this week, Dr. Michael Bruce, the author of The Power of When, which I'm holding in my hands right now, dog-eared as it is. And for those of you who've listened to my show before, you know that if I've dog-eared a book, that I've really dove into it. Dr. Michael Bruce, thanks for joining me this week on the show.
Mike, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, before we dove into this recording, I thanked you for writing this book because this is a book that I've been waiting to see on the market. In fact, I wrote a book called The Night Owl Action Plan because there was a lot of – it was just a small little product that I did for a challenge to tell people, hey, you know what? It's okay if you're a night owl. It's okay if you're somebody that is not the early riser type. But I'm not a doctor. I don't study this stuff. I mean, people are like, well, Mike's a productive sort, but he doesn't have the scientific background. You do. So,
I do.
So when this book came out, I pored over it. I remember reading it initially. My daughter was getting some dental work done and I started to just read it, dive into it. And I want to thank you for writing this book because what it does is whenever you have those books that validate, they're so powerful. Why did you write this book?
Okay. So, first of all, I am a lifelong wolf, which people will learn is actually a night owl. Mm-hmm. And so that was a curiosity, but it wasn't the reason. So as people may or may not know, I'm an actively practicing sleep specialist. So I am a PhD in clinical psychology and I'm board certified in clinical sleep disorders. So I took the medical specialty board without going to medical school and passed. And they said, oh, crap, I guess you're a sleep doctor now. And so I've been a sleep doc for the last 17 years. And my specialty has been insomnia because I use my PhD in clinical psychology background because we know a lot of insomnia has to do with what's going on between your ears more so than anything else. And I like those patients, but they're difficult patients to work with many times. And I had one about 3 years ago and my techniques weren't working. And I use research-driven, evidence-based techniques. You know, I'm not a big pharmacy guy. I know there's a lot of people out there that do take pharmaceuticals for sleep. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just not my first line of defense. But I tried literally everything I could think of with this woman, and nothing was working. And so I brought her back in, and I said, let's just dive deeper, because I'm kind of a dog with a bone with these things. So if I can get there for you, let me do it. And what we discovered was she said, it's not that I have a hard time falling asleep, and it's not that I have a hard time staying asleep. She said, I sleep at the wrong time. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean the wrong time? Because I had shift workers, you know, who work at night and sleep during the day. And I have two kids. I have a 14-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter, and they love to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning and sleep until noon, right? And so I said, is it kind of like that? And she said, it's exactly like that. And it's very, very difficult to try and change somebody's chronotype. It's not impossible, but it's something that you literally have to work on every single day using light therapy and melatonin, and it can be complicated. It's not impossible, but it's complicated. And I said, well, then no wonder my techniques aren't working with you, because there's nothing wrong with you. You have a genetic predetermination, and what we need to do is see if we can get the rest of the world to understand that. If we can do that, then we've got a shot at this. So I said, can I call your boss? And she said, well, things are kind of contentious with my boss right now. I'm on probation, and I think I'm going to get fired over the next week. And I said, well, let me give it a shot. So I call him up, and I said, look, here's the situation. I think I've got somebody whose body clock is actually pushing them, you know, to stay up late and to sleep late. And he said, okay, that makes sense. And I said, why? And he said, she can't make it to work on time. She falls asleep in early morning meetings. Like, her productivity level has dropped since we moved things for her having to do stuff earlier in the day. I said, well, could we run the experiment where I have her come in 2 hours later than she normally would, and I have her stay 2 hours later than she normally would? So getting in around 10:30, 11, not leaving till like 6:30 or 7. And he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm really about ready to fire her. And I like her as a person and I want to see this work. So let's give it a shot. So about 7 to 10 days later, I call him up and I'm like, so does she still have a job? Like, what's going on? and he said to me, this was amazing. He said, I haven't seen anything like this before. He said, she shows up to work at her new time. She's super productive. She's, you know, she's doing all the things that we want her to do. It's fantastic. So then I called her husband and I said, tell me what's going on at home. And he said, I like her more.
Wow.
That was interesting, right? And then I said, how are the kids feeling? And he said, the kids say mommy's not so cranky anymore. And so it was like this kind of moment where I was like, oh shit, like there's a lot of people out there that this is affecting and we need to figure this out. And so I dove into the scientific literature, and there's over 400 studies looking at early bird, night owl, and what I discovered were other chronotypes as well. You know, when you look at the extremes, it only makes up about 10 to 15% of early people and 10 to 15% of night people. There's a lot of people out there that are in different extremes, and we got to figure them out too. So I went into the literature to try to figure out, is there like an assessment tool, like a questionnaire or something like that, that I could use? And there wasn't, only for these extremes. So I was like, well, then I guess I need to make one.
Right.
So I created my own, and that's what the Power of When quiz has become. And so for folks out there, if they want to check it out, go to thepowerofwhenquiz.com. I'm sure it'll be in your show notes.
Yep.
You can take the quiz and figure out kind of what you are. Once I knew what bucket you fell into, it got really cool because I was like, well, I knew from this person and also from me in writing books and things in the past, there are certain times of day I do things really well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like I can't do my best creative work till later in the day. Like,
right. Because you're a wolf.
But this is interesting because you meet clients and I meet clients for my business. I actually prefer to meet some of them in the morning because I feed off their energy.
Yep, absolutely. And that's so, actually a very wolfish trait.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Because otherwise, yeah. And so I'm up till, I mean, because I did comedy for a long time too. So I was, I was late night. Like, I never really left that teen area where, and in your book, you go over this where, and that's why your kids, and my daughter's 11. So she's headed that way. Plus she's genetically inherited my night owl, you know, my wolfism already. Right. And we all did the quiz in our house. We all did it. My son and my wife are bears, and my wife and my daughter and I are wolves. But what's fascinating to me is the idea that, When I went through the typical day, and that's one thing you do in this book, is the ideal day for each chronotype, and we'll get into the dolphin here in a little bit because I think that's the interesting one, that never really has been explored all that much. Is I looked at it and I said, I was literally nodding my head as I was reading. I'm like, yes, this makes sense. This makes sense. This makes sense. And then things like eating dinner at 8 o'clock for somebody like a wolf, but. Mm-hmm. Again, my family, I've got a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old. That's not ideal, but what you do is now that you have almost permission to do the 8 o'clock dinner time, is what I do is I have what I call pre-dinner or first dinner. And that's when I sit with the family, have a very light snack meal, and then at 8 o'clock I have my full day. So this book, if you look at it and if you're reading this book already, you're kind of like, okay, I want to dive in and figure out what my chronotype is and what my body clock is best suited for. Then you should be more than willing to say, okay, this doesn't exactly work based on my job, based on my life, but how can I make it work? How can I? And dinner was one of those things immediately that had to happen for me.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you mentioned dinner, right? So I've got two teenagers. And so we rarely eat dinner before 7:30, 8 o'clock now.
Right.
And what I've found is the later that I have dinner, the less likely I am to have the refrigerator doors open at midnight because I'm up.
Yep.
and start, you know, eating ice cream, which is my favorite food of
all time. Or making French toast like I do or something like that. Like carbs, just loading up on carbs. Yeah, absolutely.
So there's actually a biological reason why you do that. It's interesting. And so we learned that the more sleep deprived a person is, the higher their cortisol level is.
Right.
And when your cortisol level is high, you eat high carbohydrate, high fat, because it produces serotonin, which lowers cortisol. So there's actually a biological function there. But it's been fascinating to see. And you mentioned something else that like warms my heart, because when one person takes the quiz, then they get their whole family to take the quiz. Mm-hmm. And it's really about communication, right? It's really about knowing, okay, here's how people work. And so if I want to have a discussion with somebody, like my daughter is a perfect example. If I pick her up from the bus at school, I'm like, hey, Carson, how was your day? Fine. What did you do in school today? Not much. Do you have any homework? No. Right. Mm-hmm. And she's a girl. Like usually girls are pretty chatty in the afternoon. Right. She's not, because she is a true wolf. And if I walk into her bedroom around 10 o'clock at night, I can't shut her up.
Yep.
I ask her the same three questions and I've got a 45 minute and I have a great bonding experience with my daughter. I can hang out with her. We can chat. And because I'm also a wolf, it works out really, really well. Problem comes is if I was a lion, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That would be a bigger problem. So let me explain to all the listeners what these chronotypes
are. Yeah.
So it turns out that there aren't just two chronotypes, there are four. And so lions are, I renamed them because I'm a mammal, not a bird. And I wanted to choose animals that were within my animal kingdom that also represented these. So
the bird representation, birds are dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are ancient. Let's update that.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, let's figure this one out. So lions are actually, they're the king of the jungle, but they actually have their first kill at dawn. Usually they are very early morning creatures. That's when they get a lot of their productivity done. And then towards the later afternoon, they're napping in the sun and hanging out. And so these represented my early birds, right? And so these are people who get up at 5:30. They're very much the COOs of companies. They're a lot of times type A personalities and they're leaders, but these are people who are rule followers. They like to make a list and they like to go from point one to point two to point three to point four. They don't like a lot of derivation in there. They are very much on the straight and narrow. They're productive, but they can also drive people crazy because they're sending emails at 6 a.m. when nobody was really particularly interested. Bears represent the middle of the spectrum here. So bears make about 55% of the population. These are my extroverts. These are the people you love to have a meal with because they're going to hang out and they're going to tell you the funny story that's going on in their lives or what's happening in the office. Bears are really the glue that keeps society together. They are really good at working hard but also playing hard. I find that bears do the best job of not – I don't like the term work-life balance. I find it's more like work-life integration.
Yeah, or harmony or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they do a really good job of that portion. And they're really the kind of the glue that keeps society together. My night people are wolves like you and I, mm-hmm. right? And so what's interesting about wolves is we have a tendency to be a little bit more introverted. But we also have a tendency to be very creative and artistically talented. So it makes perfect sense that you used to do comedy.
Yep.
Right? Because that's what my wolves do, yep. Right? My actors, my musicians, my authors, my artists, all of those types of things. And that's really where it comes out. And what's interesting about wolves is we're a little reserved when you first meet us, but once we get to know you, you can't shut us up. We're just chatty, 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 because we finally met somebody that we like and we're just tossing ideas around and things like that. The fourth category, which is one of the newer categories, is the dolphin. Now, I chose dolphins. I chose the animal dolphin in particular because most people don't know it, but dolphins sleep unihemispherically. So half of their brain is asleep while the other half is awake and looking for predators. And I thought that was kind of a cool representation of my insomnia patients, my patients who don't sleep particularly well. These are the group of people, they're type A personalities, but they have a level of obsessive compulsiveness that doesn't allow them to be nearly as productive as they want to be.
Right.
Sometimes their level of detail gets in the way of being able to actually get to where they want to go. And once I kind of figured out what the four buckets were and we created the quiz that can drop you into one of those four buckets, then it got really interesting. because I kind of spawned off the idea of there are times of day where I do things better than others. And I said, I wonder if that's hormonally influenced, and I wonder if that's influenced by your chronotype. And it turns out there it absolutely is. And so we found that there are certain times of day I can actually match your hormones to the activity that you want to do, and I know when they're going to occur based on your chronotype.
Right.
So I can tell you the perfect time of day to have sex, eat a cheeseburger, run a mile. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that's the other part of this book that a lot of – so the great thing about this book too is that you go through the first part and then you can kind of cherry pick after that if you really want to. So you can say, exactly. I want to know – like I said, hey, hon, you want to know when to get a mammogram? Here, go look, right? You know, or the – you know, or when should we argue, or when should – and you've got some nice cross references there. And it's really interesting because that spawns, like you said, communication and understanding and acceptance where – and when you're living in a household, especially when you've got, you know, four people who are all – you know, my son – actually, it's interesting. This book probably opened me up to do things like go to see somebody about parenting classes and stuff like that because now that opened the door to communication about understanding about, okay, Mike, the reason that – I need to sleep until, you know, I sleep until 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and actually even late. I'm actually probably more of an extreme wolf still, where I'm going to bed at like 1:30. This right. book is encouraging me to pull back because if I do that, just a little bit, because when I do that, then I can help my wife out in the morning with getting the kids off to school and stuff like that, since I work from home and it's not that, you know, and it lowers her stress levels because right. if she was a lion, wouldn't have to worry about it. She'd right. have them out the door, everything, but she's a bear and she doesn't get up much earlier than I do. Right. So, but what I found this book does is it opens up understanding and acceptance. And I want to talk a little bit about the idea that, and we talked about this a little bit, is the early birds. There's all this again, and it's not, there are studies that talk about this, but there's all this promotion about get up early. The early bird gets the worm, which of course, then I throw out the second mouse gets the cheese. But, but that whole notion of you need to be an early riser to be productive. And that's just a fallacy.
Right. It's not true. It's really about respecting your chronotype and knowing which one of these you are and then working within it. You know, there's plenty of people out there who talk about, you know, morning routines and the miracle morning. Hal Elrod does a great job of that kind of stuff. And it was great because he actually came to me once he found out about chronotypes in my book. And he was like, well, I want you in my movie to tell people it can't work for everybody. You know, I want you to tell people about other aspects and ways to do things. And, you know, I was thrilled to do something like that. So I think it's about, I think you said it best. It's about individualization and then acceptance of that, an understanding and acceptance. And the book really is turning out to be a communication tool. Mm-hmm. So than anything else. You know, it's funny. I just got a call recently from, I don't know if you know, Dave Asprey.
Oh, yeah. He actually lives not too far. Dave is from this part of the country where I live.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Victoria, Vancouver area.
He's from where I literally am 45 minutes from where his bulletproof labs are. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Dave and I did our interview, at the end of the interview, he was like, Michael, we got to chronotype the whole organization and we're going to try to figure out how to do meeting schedules and things like that. Like it's finding a way to include people and communicate with them and get stuff done. And that's really where I think it gets, you know, super interesting.
Actually, you bring up a great point with what Dave was saying is I find that when I go in and talk to people about productivity practices, especially, is that there's this one size fits all approach that most organizations take. And the problem is that, you know, whether it's a tool or a framework or whatever, everyone works differently. The objective might be to, you know, hit a sales target or to complete right. this project, but it's subjectively is how the team gets there. How do you recommend in an organization, for example, where you've got these diverse teams where they're made up of different chronotypes, how do you recommend that they tackle that? Because they're probably not even paying attention to that, not even really noticing that that's part of the problem with their productivity in the first place.
So what I do, so first of all, I don't believe in meetings that should last longer than about 45 minutes, generally speaking, just because people lose interest and get tired and things like that. And so we create these little mini meetings within a meeting for particular chronotypes. So as an example, best times to brainstorm are different for different kinds of people. So if you're working with a company, let's say that's an ad agency, where you've got lots of creative people, you're an idiot if you're doing an 8 a.m. Monday morning meeting, okay? Right. That shit doesn't work, okay? But if you think through the idea of the personalities that you're working with and the chronotypes that you're working with, having a creative meeting later in the day for certain projects makes a lot of sense. Whereas on the sales side of the ad agency, those people, you're going to want more bears and lions filling those roles. And those are the kind of go-getter, get out in the world people. Whereas the introverted, wolfish people like you and I are going to be better doing the creative stuff later in the day. And so what we start to do is work through that. The other thing I've found is managers giving feedback can actually be taken in very, very different ways depending upon what time of day the feedback is given, right? And so if you've got somebody who's not performing well, they already know they're not performing well, okay? Mm-hmm. This isn't news to them, right? But what is news to them is how can they fix it? And if you can catch them at a time of day where that information is entering the psyche and getting in there and able to digest and really do something with it, I think then it gets really interesting. But to be honest with you, we're at the nascent stage of this. This is super duper new. Nobody's ever tried to do what I'm doing before, and we're having a lot of fun with it. I can't tell you that I know everything there is to know about it yet because I don't. But you know, like right now, if we get enough people who are interested in the book and who we can sell a bunch of copies, then the next book I want to write is The Power of When for Business.
Right.
Right. And I want to really dive deep into things like brainstorming, things like presenting your ideas, memorization, email, workflow, things like that, because there's a lot of stuff that we can do. And we've known this for years, looking on the safety side of things. So if you go into companies that have 24/7 schedules, right, so they got shift workers in there, we know that there are certain times of day where accidents happen more often than not.
Yes.
And generally speaking, it's in the middle of the night. We know the Titanic, we know Chernobyl, you look at the biggest disasters that we see, and they all happen on the late shift when people are tired. Mm-hmm. Well, what would happen if we had night owls doing those jobs?
Yeah, the wolves. Right.
Have the wolves doing the night jobs and have the lions available in the morning to relieve them, you know, would safety concerns reduce? I think they would. I think that would be a cool thing to try to figure out. So I think there's a lot of creative ways. We just have to get into enough situations and figure it out.
One of the things that I also enjoyed about the book is that you've got this idea of I'm not a big believer in hyper-scheduling. Like there's a lot of people say schedule everything in your calendar, schedule all your tasks. Yeah. What I like about what you do here is it's kind of – I theme my days. So I recommend people theme their days and theme their time period. So horizontal theming. So if you have the ability to do creative work, don't say I'm going to write a blog post for the next 30 minutes and write that, because that's too constrictive. Whereas with what you've got here is you've said, okay, here is the time frame where you're best suited to do this type of work. So it creates that flexibility that people need, because they're already feeling the pull of their body clock anyway, and they're feeling the pull of where people expect their body clock to be, because we do live in this 9-to-5 world, right? And one of the things you bring up about the lions is that they die on the vine before social hours. Like they can't, so they're not the ones closing deals late at night. We're the ones closing deals late at night, because that's when we're at our best as a wolf. So what I like is and was that intentional to say, hey, look, here's a broad spectrum of what you can do during these time periods versus the, okay, you must, you have specific examples of things like fighting sex, all that stuff, but you offer a broad approach. Was that intentional just so that it seemed more accepting to people, or was it just it's still so nascent, like you're saying, that there's no real determination as to when a particular time should be for a particular type of activity?
So for me, I like using zones because I think almost everything's on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're a bear, you're never 100% a bear, right?
Right.
And so you might have some wolfish categories to you. You might have some lionish categories to you. So I wanted to give people a zone. But, you know, as an example, you talked about writing a blog,
right?
Or writing some piece of content, right? And so here's what's interesting is if you break that down, it actually requires multiple types of skill sets, right? So there's the creativity portion of it, which you could do at a different time of day. Then there's the analytics behind it, like what research has been done about this, or what's the evidence that this is going to be true. And then there's the actual writing, right? So you've got three very different things that you have to do in order to organize and put together a piece of content that makes sense, that people will be able to accept and enjoy and learn from. And so I would argue that if you only give yourself an hour during your schedule to do that, and you pick the wrong hour, and by the way, all hours are the wrong hour, because you can't do all three of those things in
no,
one hour.
No, no. It's and they're projects. You're right. People don't break down. Like, write a right. blog post is not just write a blog post. Like you said, it's a project. People have a hard time. I mean, you know, driving a car is a project. Going grocery shopping is a project. So, yeah. But you're right. Like, putting the list together to go grocery shopping might be better done for somebody at a certain time of day, because they've – again, a great example is, okay, you've just finished eating, so now would be a good time to do that. Or you're more analytical at this time, so you can make a better sense of, you know, when you're pulling like the crap off of your shelves that you don't want. But going grocery shopping, you know, and you mentioned there's one thing you mentioned in the book, and I'm gonna screw it up. But the idea of the lions don't know what to do. They can get to the store, and they don't know what to do when they get there.
Right.
And wolves will take forever to get to the store, but once they get there, they know exactly what to do. Right. And so that's a perfect illustration of, you know, when should you make the list versus when should you go? Right.
Right. Yeah. My wife and I do this all the time. Is I like to walk in, and if I'm not a big shopper, by the time I finally get to the mall, I know exactly what I want. I go to the store, I get it in my size, and I leave. And she's like, aren't you going to try it on? Aren't you going to see how it looks? Aren't you going to? And I'm like, no, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I do well. I figured out what I want, you know, and it's exactly right, you know. And I think there's differences that fall along those pathways for everybody. And I think if you break things down, you might really be surprised at how much quicker you accomplish those goals, and do them well. You know, I think so much of productivity we look at is speed, and I'm not convinced that that's really the metric that we should always be using. I think speed is important, but I think quality is more important.
We'll wrap things up now, because I know you've got other calls, and I want to just thank you for putting this book together. I want to thank you for validating what I've been saying for a long time without any empirical evidence or scientific evidence of the fact that, like, you should not fight your body clock. It's actually one of the top tenets in the way of the Productivityist Manifesto. You have far more important battles to fight than to fight your body. And with this book and by the way, I love Hal's stuff. We've been on panels before. It's one of the greatest panels I was on was Hal Elrod, Laura Vanderkam, What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast, and Craig Jarrow, who is former military time management ninja. And I was the outlier. I was the wolf. and the question was, when do you get your stuff done? And everyone was like 3:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And they're like, well, I get it done the day before, so I'm ahead of these guys. Like, that's if you're a wolf, you better be proactive, because we do live in this 9-to-5 culture. And we are the ones that are kind of discriminated isn't probably – it's too strong term.
We are.
But we're totally discriminated against. So it's nice to have some validation there. Where can people pick up the book, and are you going to be doing how else can people learn more about this stuff as well?
Sure. So if you go to thepowerofwhen.com, you can go there, and books available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in most booksellers. It's, oddly enough, a lot of the airports are now carrying it. So when I'm going through the airports, I'm seeing it, and I go over and we take pictures with it. It's a lot of fun.
For the red eye, do you sign them too? Do you sign them?
I do. Yeah. Absolutely.
For the red eye flights, right? Red eye flight for you?
No, I don't like red eyes. I can,
which
sleep
is weird
there.
Because you say that. Well, because you say that that's one of the things wolves should do is do red eyes, right?
So here's what I discovered: the only reason way I do red eyes is if I'm doing my LA to New York flight, because I have enough time to get sleep.
Right.
The biggest problem with red eyes is it takes, once you finally take off, it takes a couple of minutes, maybe 15, 20 minutes to fall asleep. And if the flight isn't, you know, 4.5 to 5.5 hours, just don't get enough sleep.
I flew from LA to Cincinnati, and I was able to, it worked. I'm flying from Vancouver, Victoria to New York City. I'll do the red eye then.
Yeah. And see, that makes sense.
Yeah. I've missed one flight in my life, and it was when I scheduled it to leave too early in the morning. So I've learned my lesson to pay a little bit extra, wait till later in the day, and make it happen. So there's a travel tip for all those travel hackers out there. Look at your chronotype, and it's in the book. When should you travel? How should you travel? So, so much goodness in here. Dr. Michael Bruce, thanks for joining me this week on the show.
No, Mike, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, and hopefully I'll get a chance to come back again, and we can talk about when to have sex or eat a cheeseburger or run a mile.
Absolutely. That's it for this week's episode of the Productivityist Podcast. Thanks to Dr. Michael Bruce for joining me on the show. If you have not picked up The Power of When yet, do yourself a favor and do it. It's a fantastic read, and I think more people need to know about their chronotypes and not worry so much about fighting their body clock, but embracing it and making it work for them rather than against them. And interestingly enough, lately I've noticed that I'm still a wolf, but I'm not the wolf I used to be. The 1:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30 time slot isn't working for me as well as much lately. In fact, I remarked to my wife not too long after doing this interview that, you know, I'm thinking that things are changing, and sure enough, they are. I'm starting to shift to like a midnight 12:30 a.m. time slot, so we'll see how that keeps going. But I digress. I want you to get on and pick up this book and learn how you can make your chronotype work for you rather than against you. So again, thanks for listening. If you want to get more out of the Productivityist Podcast, you can always become a Patreon supporter. Head over to patreon.com/productivityist. There's more content that you would get every single week, and there's just a lot more there. So if you head over to that URL, patreon.com/productivityist, maybe you'll find that you want to join and support the show. If you're not willing to do that, or you're not able to do that, then I'd love it if you gave the show a rating or review in iTunes. And that just helps people find the show and helps me make the show better. Thanks to John Polstra, my producer, for putting this week's show together. And thanks to all of you for listening. Until next time, I am Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist Podcast and founder of Productivityist, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.